This is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined by our Chair, Emmanuel Faber. We're recording this following the final day of our first ever board meeting here in Montreal. So, Emmanuel, can I kick off by handing over to you maybe to give your first impressions on the discussions?
Thank you, Sue, and welcome everyone to another podcast. Firstly, I'd like to say it's been a truly energizing week of meetings here. I continue to be impressed by the depth of discussions and the range of expertise on the board. And with that in mind, I was very pleased to see so many unanimous decisions, I think all but one, made this week. A few highlights about this week is in particular on the climate standard, the fact that we confirmed requiring scope 1, 2, and 3 on emission disclosures. The feedback was supportive of Scope 3 as an important source of information. We talked in detail about the need for flexibility, and we decided that we would design a strong support package at the very same time as we're finalizing this one. Then I think we had a set of discussion which was really important in ensuring the usefulness of the information disclosed to investors, while balancing the practical challenges, I think, and that particular decision on climate made it all.
Yeah, I think it was a really good example, Emmanuel. It really showed, I think, how the board is really keen to make sure we meet the needs of investors, but also really conscious of being practical and asking, you know, something reasonable of preparers, but getting people off on a good path. So I think that the GHG emissions discussion was a really excellent discussion of that. I think another really important discussion we had this week was about our future work plan. And so we talked about the upcoming consultation on our agenda, which is now planned for the first half of 2023. So that will be where we'll ask you, our stakeholders, what you think is really important for us to work on next. But we also confirmed sort of what we're going to do immediately following finishing S1 and S2. And we introduced and agreed to this notion of having a set of work that we call foundational work, building on the foundations of S1 and S2, which we will start sort of immediately as we finish the re-deliberations and isn't really subject to consultation as such. And there's some important pieces of that foundation building work. One is really to make sure that that we continue to build on the legacy work of the SASB, that we're going to look at internationalizing further the materials that are referred to in S1. We also agreed to advance some of the existing SASB projects and to build on some immediate follow-on topics that follow from our climate document. So that was really, really important. And also, we talked about how we would do work on interoperability with GRI and also with, of course, the jurisdictional work, for example, with Europe. So that upcoming consultation is something that's really important for us to think about as well. But of course, I shouldn't have skipped over another important discussion, which was the foundational work that we're doing around S1. So maybe, Emmanuel, focusing on a couple of key decisions on S1 again for a moment.
Yeah, so on S1, I think the essence of our decisions was clarification and maybe I would even say even more focus and simplification in some key aspects. In particular, I think the overarching decision this week was our focus of the materiality definition for our work on the IAS 1 definition, as opposed to continuing to have the enterprise value concept, which in a way was adding confusion, and also around the consultation appeared to be conflicting with some jurisdictional definitions around enterprise value. And so I felt quite important indeed that we landed and rooted our financial materiality, our materiality assessment on where basically the accounting part of the IFRS work is grounded in IAS 1.
Yeah, so that was really important. And I think the other thing was removing this word significant that tripped people up when they were looking at S1, but importantly, really asking the board to, the staff to go away and bring back to the board a description that would sort of replace what we wanted significant to achieve, and that's really explaining to companies how to step through the process of deciding what matters to report on and how to approach the disclosure requirements.
Yeah, and one thing I would add on that is the fact that we also had that discussion of whether we should get read of the word all significant risks and opportunities, and we were in agreement that probably it should not stay where it is, but it is important that it is there. We saw that as something which is core to S1, and that is related to one of the grounding reasons why reconfirming scope 3 was important, because it was a manner in the climate standard to apply this principle of looking at really the whole value chain for all risks and opportunities going forward.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And that's a really good link into the discussions we had on interoperability. So one of the important papers that we discussed at the board meeting this week was really some decisions that we brought forward to give a clear direction to others who are looking at standard setting in this space, including, of course, our counterparts in Europe, to really help them to understand where we're heading. You've mentioned one really important one already, Emmanuel. Our materiality definition was really important for that. The value chain definition was important. But also we made some decisions to try to more closely align the language we use around some of our climate ideas, so the use of the term carbon offsets versus carbon credits, and also made some decisions to try to more closely align some of the transition disclosures and how, for example, gross and net emissions targets are presented. So that was important as well. Maybe a good point to move on to the industry-based paper.
Yeah, so that was the discussion of this morning, actually, where essentially we, I think, were more precise in developing on our intention to maintain and enhance the SASB standards as they exist today, so that we can actually continue to serve the growing community of the SASB users. We shared data during the discussion that showed that from the year 21 to most likely full year 2022, there would be an increase, or basically the number of users would actually double, which shows the market relevance of our SASB standards. So elaborating on the plan of the further enhancement of those standards was critical. We also discussed the status of Appendix B in our climate standard to accommodate with the feedback that we received on some from a number of parties around the world through the consultation, that it would be better, that was a staff recommendation and we followed them, to use it as an implementation guidance and not as quote-unquote mandatory requirement in our standards, but in the same time making clear that we have the intention over time to bring it as part of full material and requirement for our standards. We discussed the point of making sure that the few or the proportion of SASB standards that are in a way too jurisdiction specific today would be removed and reworked as part of the immediate work of enhancement of those standards, which we have called internationalization, making sure that they can be jurisdiction agnostic and therefore bringing them to both a stage where they can again be even more useful for more users as such, but also prepare gradually through what would become a proper consultation on priorities, the long-term view that over time we would come at ISSB, and the staff was indicated the latest date to be 2025 with a full-fledged range of ISSB proper industry specifics.
Yeah, so a really important couple of steps there. So the staff are going to come back with a more worked up set of recommendations on how we approach Appendix B. And one of the things that we did ask them to look at, particularly when they do that, is what we do with the finance and facilitated emissions piece of that. You know, is there something different we should do to that in terms of its status in the Appendix B? So I think that covers the highlights of what we've touched on this week, Emmanuel. A really busy week, I think a really productive week, lots of decisions. And I should just say before I sign off that we also did a series of two-minute updates on each day of the board meeting this week that are really a complement to this slightly longer podcast. So for those of you looking at more detail, that's an interesting source as well, in addition to the official summary of our meetings, which we will post on our website, the IWSB update. And so with that, thank you very much for listening, and we really look forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you, Sue.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.